problems.
What?
Nosebleeds.
The conversation flagged and faded away. After another 10 minutes or so, Carla Peterson suggested to Baron Edgar that they should be going.
Lots to do. Day's still young. Norman wants us both to go out and check where they found their snake dead. His idea is to keep on putting pressure on Edgar as Baron until the string stretches too far and snaps.
Guess I'm not ready to snap yet.
Do well to visit Dern and lay out some jack on a blaster.
No.
Edgar, please. Why not take John's advice? He and Ryan and the others know what they're talking about.
Thanks for the thought, Mr. Dix. The day I need to pull out a blaster to defend what I believe in, then that's the day I've lost it all. You can't convince folks to goodness with a loaded gun.
With that, he bowed to the others and left the room, followed by Carla Peterson.
Dark Knight, you might not be able to convince folks with a blaster, but you can sure as rad blast save your skin with one.
I can see his point. Remember that I believe in peace as well. Back in my time, there was a lot of folks who figured it was better to live on your knees than die on your feet.
You believed that?
Well, no, of course not. But I always thought that any problem could eventually be sorted out by talking, rather than a finger on a red button somewhere beneath the prairies of Kansas.
The view from the rear window was still obscured by the turmoil of smoke from the garden bonfire. Christy, standing by Ryan, glanced toward the window. Ryan felt Christy's body tense.
Don't anybody turn and stare, but we got us a sticky hanging on the glass looking in at us.
Lori immediately turned and stared. One hand was holding the wooden wall of the house. The other flattened against the central pane of glass in the window, showing the white circles of the suckers on fingers and palm. Its face was pressed flat, glowering at the seven companions. Its tiny, insensate eyes, blank and lacking any spark of humanity, gazed unblinkingly in. Smoke from outside wreathed around the mutated monstrosity, making it appear, truly, like some creature from the depths of hell.
Mine.
The sticky went over backward, its one hand contracting, sucking out the pane of glass it had been holding.
Attracted by the smoke.
Ryan holstered his gun.
Should do something. Bad news when stickies start coming into a vill like that in the middle of the morning. Should do something.
Zombie arrived an hour or so later, with Riddler and Harlequin.
Reverend sent us to ask you about stickies.
Yeah?
You know all about them. We've seen that from the way you chilled them out in the desert.
I told you, I fought them before. But stickies aren't all the same. Just got some patterns in common. Like the way they get attracted by flames and by big explosions.
Yeah, Reverend Moat said he'd come and ask if you figured they might attack snakefish. Gang of them in the vale?
Maybe.
Worth going out to look for their nest, Ryan?
Ryan grinned at the fat Riddler, amused by his enthusiasm to go out after the murderous muties.
Maybe. Can't you get the Baron's nephew to go up in his plane and look for them for you? Be great for a wreck.
The three last heroes looked uncomfortably at one another. The one named Harlequin had a bad accident sometime in his past that had left him with a mess of scars around his mouth, and most of his upper lip was completely missing.
Fat boy wouldn't help Moat. He'd help the fucking veal and his dwarf uncle, but not the Reverend. We could find the sticky's nest if we had someone along to tell us what to do.
No.
Riddler looked around the room.
Could be better if you was to help, Ryan.
No.
Reverend Moat said he wouldn't come. Said to tell you that the sticky in the vill has changed things. Said to tell you the feeding wouldn't be tomorrow, Dusk. It'd be today, Dusk.
The answer's still the same.
What?
No.
The bottom edge of the sun had fallen out of sight over the western horizon. The whole of the vill was gathered on the edge of the desert, near where the highway ran out into oblivion. Men, women, and children stood huddled together expectantly. There was very little conversation. It was cool, and most folks wore jackets or shawls. Ryan and all of his party were warmly wrapped against the evening chill. Rick leaned heavily on his cane, shivering, his face pale and sweating. On the way there, Ryan had found himself jostled in the back. Whirling around, he'd been surprised to see the huge bulk of Riddler. But the angel was wearing a long wool sweater over his colors, trying to make himself insignificant.
I wanted a word, Ryan.
Yeah?
I owe you, that's why. but I could be in deep shit if Zombie or the Motes knew I'd spoken to you about it.
About what?
Riddler had looked cautiously around, but in the throng, with everyone moving quickly toward the site of the feeding, nobody seemed to be taking any notice of him.
The feeding.
Fireblast, get to it. It'll be night before you finish telling me what it is.
Sure, yeah, you're right, Ryan. Of course you are. It's that I heard talk about who's going to get picked for the feeding.
Me?
No.
One of us?
No. Moat's scared about the blasters you carry. Won't cross your face on. But if he had the chance to backshoot, well, it could be different. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, Riddler. But if it's not one of us, then who is it?
Reverend Mother Marianne likes to settle up scores, pay debts. That's what'll happen here. It don't pay
to... Who?
I can't tell you.
Then why
I'm warning you, Ryan. You did good with me.
But you saved my life, Riddler. How come you figure you owe me?
No. You chilled most of the stickies. I'd have been dead meat in a mutie's pot if you hadn't been there. So I'll pay some.
Quickly.
Sure. Keep out of it. That's my word, and that's my fucking warning. Who she picks, stand away, or there'll be some serious blooding. Most of the heroes got sawed-offs. They'll be watching close.
So it's the Baron?
No, not him. Not yet. Not in the open. But can't say anything more, Ryan. They'll have my balls if they... Look, just don't interfere.
Okay, I got you. Thanks, Riddler. I still owe you.
There had been a quick squeeze of the hand, and then the big man had contrived to vanish into the crowd, reappearing a couple of minutes later with his brothers, and with a cut-down 12-gauge scattergun in his arms. Baron Brennan arrived several minutes later, driving from the Ville in a small passenger wag, with Carla Peterson in the front seat with him. His brother Rufus was in the rear seat with Leighton, who was still in the leather flying suit. None of them spoke to anyone in the crowd, but Carla and the Baron nodded to Ryan and his friends. There was an almost tangible ostracizing of the Baron, as if everyone knew that he carried the taint of some nameless disease and would contaminate them by even the slightest touch. At last, signaled by a Zombie firing his shotgun into the dark sky, the Motes themselves appeared among their congregation. Both Norman and Joshua were carrying small drums slung across their shoulders. Marianne Moat was dressed completely in scarlet. A long gown of silk flowed down to her chubby ankles, and she was shod in a pair of high-heeled shoes that she could barely control on the rough ground. She was heavily made up, like an aged doll, and she carried a long whip of silver leather in her right hand. The dress was cut so low in front that her breasts swelled against the thin material and seemed about to break for freedom. At a sign from Norman, a pair of the last heroes strode in a half-circle in front of the gathering, setting light to a series of gasoline fires, surrounding everyone in a ring of flame, giving the illusion that their only line of escape would be the dark desert behind them, where the snakes dwelled. One thing the Motes were extremely good at was whipping up the frenzy of a mob, repeating their exhortations to worship the worms of the desert, crying out in unison for divine intervention to point the finger at the guilty person in the Ville who was responsible for the spate of bad luck.
Use me as the oracle of the vengeance!
Marianne's arms waved, the thin material of her dress danced about her. Ryan and the others huddled in a tight group, halfway back through the crowd. The Brennans and Carla Peterson, as befitted,